Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank God. Thank God for His presence. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Clap your hands together to the Lord. Yes. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, it's good to be in God's house tonight. And there's so much other stuff going on that Brother Roy apologized, saying that probably wouldn't be very many left, but it looks like a good crowd to me, doesn't it, you? And we certainly appreciate Brother and Sister Putnam being here and all the rest of you who are here. And a couple of months back, Lord laid something on my heart for you. It's a privilege. I always consider it a privilege to come to this pulpit, and I do not take it lightly. I really feel that my responsibility is not to show you how intelligent I am, nor how much I know about the Bible, but to bring you something from God for you. So I would like you to go with me to a portion of Scripture that you seldom hear preached on. And as we go along here, I want you to get what God is saying, not particularly what I am saying. How many of you wants to hear a word from God tonight? If you'll lift both hands and ask Him to speak to you, you'll get it. Amen. Praise God. Come into this place, Lord. In Jesus' name, as we settle down to hear the word of the Lord, we open our hearts to You. And we pray that You would speak to us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Thank you. You may be seated right now. I want to say one thing before I preach. I was in a place of business today, and a couple of women were talking, and they were talking about the old days, back in the 90s. Brother Grant and I, we don't get that. We go back a little farther than that. The old days were more like the 50s. And in the 50s, I met a beautiful young lady and developed a friendship with her. And 55 years ago tomorrow, we were married. So, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 years down the road, looks like we probably could have gone different directions, but we didn't. She stayed with me, and one of the fellows in the church that I pastored for a long time, he went home one day. He'd had a little fuss with his wife, and all of his clothes, shoes, his stuff was on the front porch, and the front door was locked. So he went around back, made his way in, and came down to the front porch and picked up his stuff and took it back in and put it in his bedroom. She said, I don't want you here anymore. He said, I'm here anyhow. I'm not going anywhere. So my wife and I never had that kind of problems, but we have just told each other we're going to stay together no matter what. Amen. And we still are. And I have said it many times. She has been my help, my support, my strength, and my balance. I know nobody here gets out of balance, but I do. Okay? Sometimes I even lose it. But I don't say any bad words. That's supposed to have been funny, but you're not laughing, so. Amen. My wife and I have just mutually decided we're just not going anywhere. We're just going to stay right on together. Okay? Is that all right with you? Amen, amen. Book of Ruth, Old Testament. The first chapter and the first five verses. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. The name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. They dwelt there about 10 years. Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Now, I've preached a few times from the book of Ruth, but not very much. There are several great truths revealed in this book that could be emphasized, but until just a couple of months ago, I had not noticed what has become to me the most apparent truth of all. In fact, it hit me so hard, I haven't been able to get away from it. I actually touched on it in Voces Unidas last month, but even then felt it was given to me for these people who are gathered here this evening. So I ask that you be just a little patient with me. Let me give you a little bit of background, because there's a truth here that we need. And everybody said, "He means me." Thank you. We all know very well that the biggest struggles in our lives will come from our flesh, our ego, our human nature. The Bible calls it our old man. It's also called carnality. I've said it before, but let me say it again. We here at Calvary Gospel Church take too much for granted. Let me illustrate. When we moved here from Billings, Montana, almost 5 years ago, my wife and I combed this area of the city looking for a suitable house. We met a real estate agent, a very nice woman who went through all her listings in East Madison, looking for a house for us. We toured this side of town. We looked at what she had listed. We almost gave up on finding one and temporarily rented an apartment. As a last resort, however, we went to the realtor's office down in South Madison to look through the multiple listing. While we were there looking through the various houses for sale, another agent in the office asked our realtor if she had shown us the cottage. And the realtor said, "No, I didn't think that's what they wanted." I immediately asked her to show us the cottage. She pulled up the listing for a nearly new small house off Portage Road, which is only 10 minutes from here. Only 4 years old, it was small in size, but with an unfinished basement. Now, the minute we drove into the driveway, my wife and I knew two things. Number one was we probably couldn't afford that house. Number two, if we could afford that house, we knew that's the one we wanted. Now, we bought that house, and for months I just couldn't get over God giving us this particular house. It was a nearly new, modern, up-to-date house, and it was about the right size for our needs in retirement. The original owner, a single woman, had been transferred out of town not long after she purchased the house and only lived in it on weekends, so it wasn't used very much. The house was located about halfway between this church and the Leonardsons, so it couldn't have been a better location for us. For months, we got up every morning and went to bed at night thanking God for his blessings to us. But time passed, and being flesh and blood and normal people, human nature began to work on us, causing us to take for granted some of the blessings of God. After living in that house a while, we could see where things could have been done differently and been better for us. The basement could have been finished and it would have worked out better. Not only that, but even new houses still need regular maintenance. Filters still need changing. Kitchens and bathrooms and carpet need regular cleaning. Yard needs mowing in summer. Trees and bushes continually need trimming. And in winter, the driveway and sidewalks need to be cleared of snow, especially in March of this year. And the list goes on. So, our intense, continual thanksgiving for the blessings of God waned somewhat. We had begun to take all of God's blessings to us for granted. We had to continually remind ourselves how much God had done for us. And let me tell you something, we still do. Now, I said all that to illustrate what I said first. We members of Calvary Gospel Church take too much for granted. Not the first amen. What did I tell you? We do. Hey, there's a great thing going on here on this corner. There is something happening here all the time. There is. Lots of stuff. I look at our Sunday schedule and I say, how in the world do we do all the things we do on Sunday? Now, so we come to our text. We all know that Bible names are more important than names are today. In those days, the Bible days, the names actually told us something about the place. Bethlehem actually meant house of bread. Apparently, there were nearby wheat fields. Actually, we know that there are wheat fields in the valleys around Bethlehem, which provided a steady supply of wheat, along with a place that ground the wheat into flour, and maybe even, at least at some later date, public ovens were added to that to bake the flour into various breads. So it was the house of bread. Then Bethlehem was located in Judah, which comes from the Hebrew word for praise. Judah was the fourth son of Jacob and Leah. And Leah named him Praise because she was praising God for answering her prayer, giving her a fourth son. The tribe of Judah was given a very large segment of the largely undeveloped hill country area of the Promised Land that included Bethlehem, along with the capital of Israel, Jerusalem, which became eventually the center of worship with the location of the temple of God. Let me say it here. It was a great place to live. Bethlehem, Judah. What a place to live. Now, we don't know how long it had been since Moses and Joshua had died. We read that it happened in the time of Judges. There's a lifetime. Catch this. There's a lifetime of information, experiences, and crises given us that have been condensed down to the first five verses of the book of Ruth. You see, every year that land yielded its crops and had provided plenty of food for God's people for many years. They enjoyed plenty regularly, abundantly, for all of those years. But this particular year, when the text was written, it was looking kind of bad. Verse 1, there was a famine in the land. We don't know for sure how long it was, and we don't know how it actually happened. But at the right time, the rain didn't fall. And there had been maybe a heat wave like last summer through the Midwest. Whatever it was, the crops weren't looking good enough, especially to Elimelech and Naomi. They convinced themselves, actually, that things would be much better for them in the neighboring country of Moab. They were seriously considering making a move to Moab, away from home and family and the beautiful valleys of the Bethlehem area. But to tell you the truth, I personally think, after meditating on it, researching it, digging a little deeper in it, that it was personally, for them, deeper than that. I want you to just stop for a moment and think with me. Again, repeating myself, but I want you to get this. This was Bethlehem, which was just a small town at that time in Judah, meaning house of bread. The town was located in the rugged but rich, fertile farm country, hill country of Judah. And outside Bethlehem, the valleys grew wheat. The hills around abounded in figs and grapes and almonds and olives. And then northeast of the town, at a higher elevation, huge flocks of sheep could be seen grazing the hillsides. And I understand you can still see them if you made a Holy Land tour over in that area now. For the agricultural-based economy, rural Judah was a great place to live, not to mention how quiet and peaceful it was. Listen to me, it was a good place to raise your family. Then add to that, it was Bethlehem of Judah. It was settled by the descendants of Judah. As I have said, the primary meaning of Judah is praise. Thus, Bethlehem was the house of bread located in the place of praise. So Elimelech and Naomi lived in one of the best places to live in Israel, the house of bread in the place of praise. But they didn't think so. So they packed up and they moved out and they went to Moab, neighboring country. Let me imagine just a little here before they actually left. I don't think I'm far off. In fact, I don't think that was a quick decision on their part. I can almost hear Elimelech and Naomi debating that move more than once at the dinner table in the evening. They probably talked at length about what must be considered all those requirements of the Jewish faith. They had to first of all bring the first fruits of their harvest and give them to God, along with all of those daily sacrifices. They had to remember the regular giving of their tithes and then bring offerings also. Everything that was required of living for God at that time. They knew they would have few, if any, of those requirements over in the country of Moab. They probably looked down the road ahead of them and discussed how long it would be until next year's harvest and how much they owed and how much it would be required of them in serving God and how little they had to live on between now and the next harvest. And the more they talked, the better Moab looked. So with the promise between them of just going for a little while, this being a brief visit, a sojourn, they planned to stay for just a little while, returning just as soon as things turned around at home. They made the decision to move. They took their two sons and what possessions they could take. They left Judah, temporarily moving to Moab. Now let me tell you a little about Moab. Fertile, prosperous Moab. Considered, even in those days and before, the enemy of Judah. Listen to me. They abandoned the house of bread in the place of praise to go to immoral, perverted, idolatrous, heathen Moab. Moab, born of the incestuous relationship of Lot and his oldest daughter. Moab, meaning seed, scattering its national seed, its immoral, carnal influences throughout the area. And especially trying to tempt God's people, undermining the Old Testament law, its worship, and its giving. In fact, in Numbers 22 and 23, that's chapters, the Moabites had a record of doing just that, dating all the way back to Balaam and Balak, when Moab seduced Israel, appealing to their carnality and destroying their spirituality. Elimelech and Naomi deserted Judah. Did you hear me? They deserted Judah for nearby Moab. A little south and west of Israel, just the other side of the Dead Sea. Probably the closest neighbor to Israel. And as such, it was the quickest and easiest place to move. So they left behind the house of bread in the place of praise, choosing instead to reside in Moab. Hey, folks, your life is a result of your choices. Our lives are a result of the choices we are making right here, right now. Amen. Moab was a country with just enough knowledge of God to identify with Israel, but not enough to keep them from worshiping the god Baal Peor, a fertility god, the god of Moab at that time. Moab promoting the fact that, oh, we're all Abraham's seed. We all believe in the same God. We all worship Jehovah. While behind the scenes, they were pushing worldliness and idolatry, emphasizing gross carnality and immorality. Apparently, they'd gotten used to God's blessings. I'm talking now about Elimelech and Naomi, and they didn't think twice about where they were living. Let me say it again. I have to keep saying it. They were living in the house of bread, in the place of praise. That's where they were living. I have come to the conclusion that the two most valuable things in our lives is to find the house of bread in the place of praise. I really believe that's the primary use, need of Christian people today, to find a place where they can be fed in a place where they can praise and worship God. Does that make any sense to you? Lift your hands and praise Him together. Give Him some praise tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. See, Elimelech and Naomi were walking away from all the blessings of God that they received in the house of bread and the place of praise. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Was the famine really that bad? Apparently it wasn't, because we don't read of any others who left. And as far as we know, the rest of Bethlehem Judah stayed right there and continued to faithfully follow God. We know that because after many years, Naomi came back to Bethlehem Judah and found her relatives and friends all still living there, alive, apparently doing quite well. They hadn't left, and they had survived and were even prospering. Say amen with me. Hallelujah. When you look around, we're not a bunch of dummies. We may not be wealthy. We may not be that successful. May not have a lot to offer, but I want to tell you something. When you come to the house of God around here, you're going to be fed, and you're going to be fed well. Amen. Hallelujah. And when we get together and we pray and we praise and we sing and we play instruments and we worship, you know you're in the place of praise. And when it all boils down to it, how much more do we need? We really need to give thanks and praise to God for putting us here. And we need to decide right now that we're not moving anywhere. We're going to stay in the house of bread and in the place of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you this right now. God's talking to somebody. And I want you to hear what He's saying. I don't want you to miss it. This isn't my home. I've been around a little. Back and forth across the country. Well, I had an illustration for a little later in my sermon tonight, but I think I'll just stop and give it to you now. Out in Montana and Wyoming, there are a lot of copper mines and oil fields and place over there where they get soda ash and just all kinds of things there. I don't know what all they do. And those mining and oil field jobs pay pretty good. Not bad wages. And a lot of people would come through Billings and tell me that they had taken a job at a little town called Baker in eastern Montana where the oil field was exploding, or down in the Wyoming area in some place. And Brother Russell, you're the superintendent. We need a church there. We didn't need a church there. They didn't need to leave home. Now, don't misunderstand me. There were not enough Pentecostals or even people in some of those areas to merit trying to plant a home missions church unless somebody had a burden and a vision to do it. That makes sense? But I want to tell you something. District superintendents, brother, a couple more of them sitting here. Brother Grant's formerly a superintendent. Brother Putnam's here. We don't get real excited when some temporary worker wants us to send them a pastor, because we found out the secret a long time ago. Move-ins almost always move out. I got backing from Brother Putnam. That's right. Are we concerned about soul? Yes. Do we care about the lost? Yes. But let me tell you something. If you have found a place that will provide you with bread and a place to praise and worship God, you better hang on to that, friend. There's a lot of so-called churches that don't provide that. Amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I believe Bethlehem, Judah, as it's translated tonight, is a good illustration of God's church today. The church is the house of bread where we come and are fed from the Word of God. John 5 and 35, or 6 and 35 says, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." And you can say, oh, you can believe in Jesus anywhere in Madison. No, this is the only place in Madison that lifts up the name of Jesus like we do. It's the only place in Madison that I know of, in this area, that believes Jesus is the human body of God Almighty. And he is here. Believe me, he's walking up and down these aisles, and he's speaking to our hearts, and he's ministering to us. Amen. This is the house of bread. He's not just somebody's imagination of what he might be. He is the Lord of glory. He is the God Almighty. He is the one eternal, ever-living God who cares about us and wants us to live for him and reaches down and provides for us. You don't have to worry. If you're living for God, he's going to take care of you. Woo! Hallelujah. Come on, give him some praise. This is the place of praise. This is the house of bread. This is where we find our nourishment. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I've been around here now almost 5 years. 5 years the first of next month. And I can tell you, those who preach from this pulpit, from missionaries and evangelists to the district superintendent, and those in Calvary Gospel who preach God's word, we get fed plenty of Jesus, the bread of life. And this is our Judah, where we walk through these doors singing God's praises, where we have a night of prayer and then days of prayer and times of prayer and praise and worship. We can bring our families and we can get together and clap our hands and worship God together. Amen. And we enjoy this church, and we look forward to the times that we pray together. We look forward to the times that the worship teams leads us in singing songs that glorify God and that lift up the Master, magnify him. Amen. Amen. That's what life is all about. I am really not interested in what's going on in the world, but I want to be with God's people in God's house, serving God and walking with God and praising Him and magnifying Him, digging a little deeper in the Word of God so I get some fresh baked bread. Amen. Praise God. Come on, let's give Him some praise. Let's worship Him. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Psalm 100 tells us that we enter into these doors with thanksgiving and we come into these courts with praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord of all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Come into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You see, that's what I'm talking about. Being human, we can very easily take this for granted. No amens to that either. Come on, folks. We need to wake up and realize we can take it for granted. We can. Too many times, some people don't know the difference between gospel, Calvary Gospel Church, and some other churches. I have had people right here tell me, oh, there's no difference. Oh, friend, you don't know. There is difference. There is great difference. Some of you may at times be tempted to try out one or more of these other churches, or at times some of you may decide you really don't need church at all. So you may decide that you might just make a visit to Moab for a while, and maybe even move there permanently. So Elimelech and Naomi agreed to visit Moab. The Bible tells us to sojourn, which means to try it out for a while, or to stay or live temporarily there for a short time in the country of Moab. But listen to me and notice this. Their temporary stay lengthened. For we are told, and they continued there. At first they must have prospered. Apparently their skills were needed in Moab, and they did quite well. In the meantime, they were accepted by the Moabites, and they made friends with them, and they adjusted to this new culture. No, their neighbors were not fellow believers, but the people of Moab were basically unbelievers. This meant that in order to fit in there, they had to lay aside their spiritual values and compromise their biblical beliefs. Does that sound familiar? Man alive, I don't remember any time since I've been alive when there wasn't so many choices you could make and still call yourself going to church. Charismatic meetings and motel meeting rooms and prophecy conferences and on you could go down the list. But I want to tell you a couple of things about that. You start down that road, you're going to have to lay aside some of your Bible teaching and compromise some of your beliefs. Amen. I talked by phone to a man Saturday that my wife and I's friends had a cousin or something, I don't remember what it was now, that they thought he could straighten me out on the Holy Ghost. You know, I got the Holy Ghost, Brother Putnam, in 1958, late 1957. And I had it way too long for somebody to tell me I didn't get it. And I make sure it stays current. Amen. Come on. Come on. Amen. But if you fall in with some of this falseness that's rattling around Madison, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have to compromise your beliefs. Anyhow, let me finish the story. The man was telling me that he understood the gift of tongues in 1 Corinthians. And I said, well, back up a little bit. And I took him through several situations, biblical texts that we all are familiar with. Don't need to rehearse them to you. And he said, well, Pastor said, I haven't ever spoken in tongues. Are you saying I'm lost? And I said, no, I am not judging because I am not the judge. But I can tell you this. If you will continue to dig and get closer to God, you will receive the Holy Ghost. But you're trying to say, I said, I'm not saying anything. God's the judge. Thank God he's the judge. We'd all be in trouble if we judged each other, wouldn't we? Are you still with me? Amen. I am trying to say to us tonight that we are living in the house of bread, in the place of praise, and we need to understand that. We need to get a hold on that. Hey, folks, this is important. It's not just any church. It's the church. It's not just anybody. It's the body of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Not going to join up with just anybody. Amen. Amen. There's a little church just down the street from us that has some kind. I don't know anything about them. I should check them out, I guess. But to have some kind of holiness standards, because in all the years we've been living there, we've passed it many, many times. All the women have long dresses, and all the men are suited up. They look like us. They're not us. I don't have to go there to find out. They're not us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, I'm going somewhere. If you'll stay with me. Amen. This is a day of change. This is a day of unrest. This is a time of chaos. Not only in politics and in the law system, it's also happening in the church. And you know, I don't really have to say this, but somebody needs to hear it. You don't need to go anywhere else. You found the place. We found the place. We found the house of bread. We found the place of praise. Hallelujah. We found the place. Last time I preached here, I preached on the presence of God. We found the place where you can not only believe the presence of God is, where you can know the presence of God is. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Praise God. My wife and I talked with a guy a couple of years back, just before Christmas, and we invited him to our church. He was new to Madison. We invited him to come over to the Christmas program, which was coming up. He came, and he was just about as nervous as he could be, but he felt the presence of God. He put his head down between his knees, and he lifted it up. He was deeply, deeply moved. He did it again and again. He couldn't understand it. It was the presence of God. In all of his Christian years, he had never felt anything like that. And we need to appreciate that. Sensitive to the Spirit of God. All right. Where was I? Lost you. Yes. Elimelech, Naomi had to tolerate, and maybe even, have I used up all the juice? Hallelujah. That's worshiping. Amen. Give him praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah.
Yeah, it's working.
Amen. Now, going back to Elimelech and Naomi, there's no doubt in my mind that at least at first warning signs had been given them. Over in Moab, settled in with their new situation in life, surely their consciences smote them when it came time for the annual Jewish feast days, the annual celebrations, and they were too far away to return home for those important family and tribal gatherings. Surely they heard within a year or two the famine in Judah was over, probably a lot sooner than they thought. Soon enough, no doubt, that they wondered why they'd gone to the trouble of leaving home and family. And without doubt, when things got difficult in Moab, anybody listening tonight? Things will get difficult anywhere you are. When things got difficult in Moab, as they always do, they talked about returning. Amen. Their home and their family were in Bethlehem. They needed to go back to the house of bread located in the place of praise. But things were so comfortable in Moab, and they were so easy in Moab, and it was so, just such a casual lifestyle. They didn't really see the need of returning home. But then tragedy struck. We don't know the details. We don't know how it happened. We know where. We don't know when, what it was. But we're told in verse 3, briefly, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. See, something happened they didn't plan. Could this be a warning? Was God still reaching for them? We don't know for sure, but we do know that severe loss and major crisis really didn't bring the family back home. They just stayed there and then wound up staying there about 10 years. By now, their little boys had grown into fine young men. Verse 3 tells us they took them wives of the women of Moab. Did you get that? We don't know their connections in Moab were such. What we do know is that their connections in Moab was such that the Moabites moved in and apparently took pretty good care of the Jewish widow in their fellowship. And they even gave their daughters to Naomi's sons to raise their families in their country. But it didn't stop there. Tragedy struck again. And Naomi lost first one and then both of her sons in Moab. Her husband, her one son, then her other son. And it must have been devastating to Naomi and her daughters-in-law. That unspeakable loss left them all destitute, took away what little future they might have had in the heathen land of Moab, causing her to suddenly realize and remember the house of bread in the place of praise. Okay, now nobody knows what the future holds except God, and he hasn't really told us much. But I want to tell you here that I think it was Brother Roy that talked about how the Old Testament and New Testament worked together Easter Sunday night, if I remember right. And New Testament was fulfilling the Old Testament looking forward to the New and all that. So I'm not stretching the scripture when I tell you that there is a warning here for us all. The most valuable thing besides the Holy Ghost in our lives are our families. And you are looking at, in the first five verses of Ruth, a woman who lost her family by leaving the house of bread in the place of praise. I am not prophesying here. I'm just telling you I've been too far and too long in this to lose my family. Okay? 5 years ago, we moved here to be with our family. And you well know that we are together. We love each other. And we, man, I can't express it. We did not, over the years, have a large family. We only had one daughter who's given us two grandchildren. And we love them all. But we're not going to lose them. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We need to make up our minds that we're not going to lose our families. Amen. Amen. And one of the dangers of leaving the house of bread is a possibility of losing your families. You say, oh, I'm the father. I'm the husband. I can take care of that. You can't. Not unless you stay in the house of bread, in the place of praise. You're not going to hang on to them. You're not going to tell them how to live. They may listen to you and brush you off and go on, but I want you to know that I appreciate my daughter hanging in there and living for God through her childhood and her teen years and her college years and even up to right now, and my marrying a man in the church, and they're both active in the worship and the work of God, and a couple of grandchildren that are active and faithful to the house of God. I thank God every day for that, because it wasn't me. It was the house of bread and the place of praise. Amen. No matter how far they got away from God, they knew where to come back to. They knew what to do when they got there. They knew how to fall on their face and repent of their past. They knew how to yield to the Spirit, be filled again with the presence of God. Hey, we need this place of praise, this house of bread. We need it. We need it. We must have it. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I'm being open with you tonight. 38 years of pastoring a church with the help of the Lord and a very good wife. 38 years. 29 years of being a district superintendent. Over three big states with a few people. And when we retired, what we really thought, everybody said thought, what we really thought we wanted to do was find us a little farmette out in the country. We could go on the internet and get services from the East Coast to the West Coast. We were so weary of working with people. Please forgive me. I'm just being honest. And so weary of doing that, we thought if we could just get good church services. Okay. If you've been tempted to do that, I'm here to tell you, it won't work. We didn't do it, but we found out real soon. First of all, when God gave us the house I referred to in the beginning, we knew He didn't want us out in the country. Okay. And as time passed, and we saw that we needed services, and we needed fellowship, and we needed friendship, and we needed all of you together. Hallelujah. We recognized the fact that we needed the church of God. We needed the house of bread. We needed to be in the place of praise. We needed to be where we could participate and join in and worship God and magnify the Lord. Hey, we need this, folks. Well, you know, they got a branch work going down South Madison. Good. Boost them. Support them. Do everything you can. But this is the house of bread and the place of praise. Make sure you make a regular visit to this place. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody with me? Amen. Where am I going with this? I want to tell you something. If I awakened anything in anybody about how much you need this church, when I open the invitation in a little bit, I want you to go over here on my left And somebody will be able to pray you through to the Holy Ghost, and we'll take your name for baptism if that's what you need, whatever it takes to get you closer to God. But I want to tell you what I feel in the Spirit tonight. I feel every one of us need to recommit ourselves to one another and to the church of God and to the pastoral team that's leading us and to the work of God that's going on here. Wherever you can pitch in and help, we need you. Whatever there is to be done that you can do, follow volunteer and do it. Amen. Anybody hear me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. We noticed years ago that there were a few people who went to big churches to just hide in the stuff. You remember King Saul? He hid in the stuff. Had to call him out. So, whatever you can do, join in. I want to tell you this. You will not feel fulfilled. You can come on, Vicky. You will not be fulfilled hiding in the stuff. You'll go home discontent and upset. But if you'll join in, where are you going, Brother Russell? I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. If you will learn the value of genuine worship to God, if you'll understand the importance of praising Him for every little thing you think little that He did in your life, amen, you'll go home fulfilled. Amen. When you feel just a little cold or indifferent, if you'll make your way to the front, pray back through. Took me several years to learn that as a young man, but I thank God for teaching me. You know, some people you can tell them, some people they have to learn it the hard way. There have been a lot of things I had to learn the hard way, okay? But I'll tell you what, you can pray back through. The same Holy Ghost that initially filled you will refill you right here tonight. And I am calling upon you to recommit. I am asking you, I'm telling you that you have found the house of bread, and I'm asking you to recommit yourself to this church and this people and this pastor. Amen. To this district signified by Brother Sister Putnam in the congregation. Oh, yes. This is one family. This is one people of God. This is one group. Amen. We're in it together. We're in it together. Amen. And if you're satisfied with your position or condition in God, then you need to be shook up a little bit, because I want to tell you, I'm 76 years old and I'm not satisfied with my walk with God. I still want to get closer to Him. I still want to know more about Him. I still want to follow Him, find Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me? Is anybody here hearing what I'm saying tonight? Can you understand where we're coming from? I don't know about you, but I'm not willing to guide and guard my family this far along life's journey and wind up losing them. We must not lose our families. Amen. Do you know where your family is tonight? Do you know where your errant children are? Don't stop praying for them. I believe the revival in this last day is going to bring backsliders back to the house of God.